All right. Good morning, Carrie.
Good morning.
How does your garden grow these days? You haven't been on for a little while. How does your garden grow?
My garden is doing really well this year.
Uh-huh.
The sunshine and the heat.
I know this heat was really nice for gardens, but it's kind of changed the nature of things for me. I have the biggest change for me this year is the order of things. There are things that are just, the order is backwards than normal, or all of my peas, the heat made all of my peas come at one time instead of, you know, over a longer time period. So.
Right.
So there's good things and bad things with the heat, but.
I ended up planting some of my peas in a cooler, shadier part of the garden, and I think it was a really good choice this year.
I think so. Exactly.
Yeah.
So in our conversation a little while ago, you had talked about one of the things that you did this year is you got some new varieties. So I wanted you to talk about that a little bit.
Okay. I did. I participated in the garden conference. Mm-hmm. I think it was in February.
February, yep.
Yeah. And there were a lot of master gardeners there from Juneau and Haines. Mm-hmm. And they were asked to share some of their favorite varieties. And I tried out some of those seeds, and sure enough, I found that those varieties did really well in this climate.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that is a really good recipe for success, to talk to other gardeners and find out what varieties do well here, and then just choose from those.
We don't really need to recreate
categories.
The wheel.
Exactly.
somebody's already done it. And also what I find is that what grows out the highway is a variety that grows out the highway is sometimes different than what does better here in town. Rebecca Brewer and I have compared quite a few different varieties, and amazingly, some things are really quite different. So it probably behooves you to actually even go to a neighbor, somebody that's in your vicinity, and see. So everybody's going to come to you now,
right,
Carrie, and say,
okay,
what varieties did you grow? So do you have some that stand out to you?
I do. One bean that was recommended is a variety called Red Runner. Red Runner bean. Mm-hmm. And it's a very tall pole bean that has a gorgeous red flower.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's absolutely a gorgeous,
it's a beautiful
plant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it has been vigorous from the moment I put it in the ground and it sprouted. And even in the cooler part of the summer, you know, it was growing and doing well.
It needed the heat though to start putting flowers on. That's what mine did. I needed grew and it was happy, but the heat is what brought the flowers on.
I think it really appreciated the heat.
Yeah.
But right now I've just got this structure. I took some rebar and created a trellis for it, and now the entire trellis is just
full.
And it's
And the beans are a flattish bean that I pick fairly young. They can get to be really long and big, but they get a little bit tougher when they are like that. But Diz likes them that way. I like them tender. So anyway, what I'm saying with that is that the bean is actually a long, you can harvest it for a good long time.
Okay.
So,
And then the other variety that I tried was this Balcony tomato seed.
Huh.
And a lot of gardeners had recommended this, and I picked up the seed there at the conference. Someone had saved the seed, so it's an heirloom.
Ah, okay.
And what I really like about this tomato is it's a small, tight, compact bush.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't have this sprawling, climbing vine that's taking over your greenhouse. It's just very compact.
And is it a cherry?
It's a cherry tomato.
It's a cherry tomato.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and it came in a yellow and a red variety, which I grew both of. And it's very prolific.
Spell that name for us.
Balconi.
Okay, Balconi. Okay.
Yeah.
There's two things that I want to say about that. One is, so these varieties, I assume, are on the list that was formed at the garden conference. Mm-hmm. And that list is available to anybody. What you have to do is go online and go to, I'll just say it first, it's bit.do/HanesGardenConference2018. I know that's long, but so it's bit.do/HanesGardenConference2018. And when you get there, you're going to see there's a whole bunch of things. Everything from the garden conference is there. But one of the things is a varieties. It's a spreadsheet that has all of these varieties. And it is. It's a wealth of information that, mm-hmm. that you can use. So, And I'm guessing that all of these that you've just talked about are on there.
They are. Yeah. And I just remembered that I forgot to write down the lettuce varieties that I took off that website. And all of my lettuces, I mean, I guess most lettuce maybe does well. But
there's some that do better here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. I had some beautiful lettuce. Mm-hmm. So,
the other thing I wanted to respond to of tomato, you were talking about tomato seeds, and I think it was you who actually asked me about saving tomato seeds, and the way you got that seed from the garden conference was somebody saved it, and tomatoes are one of the easier things to save seeds from. The first thing you have to know, though, is it an heirloom? Many of us grow hybrids because many of the hybrids are earlier and they've been developed to grow in this kind of climate. But there's a few, and you know, two of my favorite tomatoes this year turn out to be heirlooms. So I've saved the seeds, and please save the seeds of the Bellicone because mm-hmm. next year we'll trade. Mm-hmm. I have two heirlooms that are just going gangbusters, and I love them this year. And so what you do is you take a tomato, ideally two tomatoes off of that plant because that creates a little bit more diversity, but take the seeds out of the tomato. You can use the rest of the tomato, so you're not even wasting the tomato. You just need to take the little seeds, and they're in that little gelatinous pocket. Basically, you want to ferment that off. You basically take the seeds with the gelatinous thing, put it in water, cover it in a little dish, put it a little bit of water in it, and put it on your windowsill for about 3 days. And you will see that it ferments and the seeds kind of sink down to the bottom. And when that happens, just put it in a strainer, wash off the debris.
What do you mean by you see that it ferments?
Well, you see that the seeds are going to actually drop down to the bottom of the water. You'll see a change. Mm-hmm. And if 2 or 3 days, it'll be done. Basically, you just take it and wash them in. I use just a little strainer. I wash all the stuff off, and you're left with just these seeds. Put it on a paper towel, dry the seeds, and then put them in a package. Make sure you label them and put the year down and save them and then give them to friends next spring. Mm-hmm. We really need to, in this community, be passing around, especially tomato seeds, any kind of seed, because they are adapted to our growing climate. And so if they do well for you, hopefully they're going to do well mm-hmm. for me. So, that's the scoop about tomatoes. Any other seed varieties that you want to particularly mention that worked well for you?
Well, I grow a pickling cucumber called Endeavor that I got from Renee's Garden. Mm-hmm. And that's a seed company, Renee's Garden.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it is just a wonderful cucumber. Mm-hmm. And Sabina first told me about this variety. And it's so prolific and delicious, and I've grown it for 3 years now, and every year it's done well.
And what's the name of it?
Endeavor.
Endeavor. Okay, mm-hmm. great. Yeah. I also have a pickling. My favorite cucumber is a pickling one that's called Vertina, and mm-hmm. That one has just outshone everything this year. Yeah. So I'll try that one again next year, too. So
yeah. And then I also wanted to mention that I picked up some seeds from Found Root, which mm-hmm. is the local seed company mm-hmm. that Leah and Nick are running.
Yep.
And I tried a muskmelon, the Minnesota Midget.
Midget. Mm-hmm.
And I have 3 melons.
Really? Cool.
Yeah.
This year? Well, the heat's been great.
In my greenhouse. Mm-hmm. Cool. But it's very exciting to
Have melons.
Have melons.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then also this Uchiki curry squash that I have been able to grow outdoors.
Outdoors. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. And I would attribute the success of that partly to the solar mulch that I bought from Johnny's Selected Seed. And that was another thing that I learned in the garden conference from other gardeners in Juneau.
People in Juneau are using that a lot.
Yeah.
It's a plastic.
It's a plastic film. It's extremely thin, but it's pretty tough considering how thin it is. And it's like a green, kind of an army green. And so it blends in. It's not like, you know, it isn't ugly at all. It's and it apparently lets some sun rays through that warm the soil.
Mm-hmm.
And so heat loving plants really like it.
Right, yeah.
And so I use that and then a row cover in the early part of the season. And I now have curry squash.
Yeah. Well, and people were really talking about how that was really a big boon to their crops. So I think I might try that next year.
Yeah.
It's called IRT fabric, isn't it? Or, or solar mulch is what you're calling it.
Solar mulch.
Okay.
I went out and looked at the package
Solar mulch.
So.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Okay, we have a few minutes more to talk, and I want to catch up on one thing. In my last show when Leslie was here, Leslie Downer had made a good suggestion that I didn't mention. Probably many of us are having things go to seed right now, like our cilantro, our parsley, our stuff like that. And I used to kind of yank that out, thinking, oh, I needed to keep my garden neat and clean. Well, the truth of the matter is that that's really kind of a stupid thing to do, because those herbs have little tiny flowers, and many pollinators really like those. And so we need to do as much as we can to enhance pollination and getting our pollinators healthy. So leaving those flowers in your garden is not a bad thing. And so do you have any of those at this point that are doing that in your garden?
I do. I have some herbs that have gone to seed, but the main pollinator in my garden right now is borage.
Borage.
And I have a lot of that, and the bees love it. And it's got a beautiful star-shaped blue flower.
I love that color blue.
Yeah. And I learned today that all parts of the borage plant are edible.
Really?
You may not want to
It's kind of fuzzy.
It's a little fuzzy, so I actually haven't tried the leaves, but I think perhaps it's something like nettles that once you steam it, or
you'd never know that they were fuzzy.
But I think the what borage is mainly used for is that the seeds produce an oil that is very valuable in skin care.
Is it medicinal?
Products. It is.
It is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very high in. Let's see. What is the gamma? Let me make sure I say this right. That gamma linolenic acid. It's one of the omega 6.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
And so it's used in a topical.
Internally, in body care products.
Okay. So eating it is probably a valuable thing to do.
Yeah.
I know I've seen the flowers in a lot of salads and whatnot because they're really very pretty.
Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah, and it's borage self-seeds. I planted it one time many years ago, and it's now part of my garden, like it or not. But I let it go oftentimes because it really is beautiful. Mine needs to be staked up. Put it in a place that you know that you can put some stakes, because mine gets high. Does yours get high and fall over if you don't have it staked?
It does, but I grow it next to a lot of other plants, and I think they
support
tight
it.
Enough that everything's supporting everything.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I think that we are mostly out of time. So,
okay, it goes by very quickly,
and we could launch into another topic, but I don't think that we could do it in the time that we've got allotted. So, I think that we are going to close off this one, and next one will be live, but not today. And thanks for coming in, Carrie.
Thank you.
All right.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.